This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to another edition of the Christian Crusaders. Where do you turn for answers to life's tough questions? Questions like, what will I do when my money runs out? How do I forgive this person when I am still so angry? And everyone has left me and I'm so lonely, and what do I do? Well, please stay with us as we talk about finding food for the soul in today's program.
Who is feeding your soul? Let me ask you that again. Who is feeding your soul? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us with this question. Help us to answer it honestly. Who or what is feeding our soul? For we know that you have created us with both body and soul, and we know that the soul is eternal. It is hungry. It has to be fed. And so we ask that you will give us the strength to seriously consider what we are doing to give good nourishment to that part of our body which makes us created in your image. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, who is feeding your soul? You may ask the question, what do I really mean? Well, you know that The Bible tells us that we are a body and a soul. It isn't difficult to answer who feeds our body. But today the text is very brief, and it confronts us with a question that leads to this question: who or what is feeding our soul? The Lord Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples and the people around him, and he made this statement that continues to live with us. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's our text. And again, you may say, well, what does Jesus mean when he talks about being the bread of life? Certainly it isn't the meat and potatoes and vegetables and dessert that feeds the body. He does give us that through the bounty of the earth. But what he is talking about here is food for the soul. Now let me take you back to the first chapter, the second chapter of Genesis, and we'll see what it has to say about the Lord and his creation. The Lord says that in the beginning, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It is this part, and he created the soul by breathing into the nostrils the breath of life. Here then, man becomes a dichotomy. He is a body and he is a soul. The body, after the fall into sin, will return to the dust and be destroyed. But then we have that building from God. That's a word that is given to us by St. Paul. That's an eternal house in heaven, and it is not built by human hands. We know here from our body on this earth that the years are limited. The lengths of our days are somewhere between 70 and 80. And we see that the obituaries in our papers pretty much bear that out. During the time that we are here on this earth, at least when we live in this part of the world, our bodies are fed on some of the finest. The finest food comes, I believe, from our own home kitchen. But there are also the other restaurants, the fast food establishments, and then the finest of restaurants that can cost us a tremendous amount of money to get an ordinary meal. That feeds the body. And then we are told to sleep and we get sufficient rest, we pray, and so forth and so on. We are getting along very well. There's no question about where the sustenance is for the body. But here today, Jesus is talking about, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. We ask the question then, what is this? What Jesus is saying to us is that our souls have got to be fed too. And that is something that I am afraid most people give little or no consideration to. They think that we are just another part of the creation. We'll get along the best that we can, or that we have other things to strengthen our life here on this earth, the soul, if you want to call it that. But they're all secular, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Jesus said, no, that it's more than that. Okay, let me give you a few examples of what this bread for the soul is. In the first letter of John, he writes a passage of scripture that is one of my dearest, and it is truly a food that will change your life if you really understand what it means. hear our Lord Jesus Christ speaking out to the people through his apostle John makes it very clear that he alone is a way of salvation. He writes, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin." Just stop and think what food that really is. He goes on to say, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Just stop and think of your life, friend, and the number of things that you and I do that is contrary not only to the will of God, but to the will of man. The things that can really bother us. And here you have this great promise from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If we will confess our sin, no matter what it is, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is the promise of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ lives in you, that is, he not only has a head knowledge in your life, but he has a spiritual knowledge. Hard to really describe it. It lives in your heart. It lives in your soul. He says if you will confess that sin, he will forgive you. And to those of you who are living today and have some of those unconfessed sins, or you live with guilt and you know not what to do with it, maybe it's something that will really cause you to go down in the viewpoint of a man or a society, regardless of what it is, if you will come to him and confess your sin and place your faith in Jesus Christ, his word says, and that's the bread of life, I will forgive you. Isn't that something that you and I need? Don't we need that more than some of the things that play a big role in our living, such as a financial statement? Let's take another one. Here, for example, we find that Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, talks to them about relationships with people, because sometimes they can become pretty stormy even between a husband and a wife, between children and parents. And here you live with this particular situation, and it finally gets to you. Now here comes the bread of life. You sit one night with your Bible, and here is what he is saying to your soul. Get rid of all of those angry feelings. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed in the day of your redemption. Get rid of that rage and that anger, brawling slander, along with every form of malice. But be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. All right, you've had trouble with your brother in the settling of the estate, and there were some angry words exchanged, and finally those words became very bitter, and you carried very difficult thoughts towards one another. One Christmas after another had gone by, and you had really not done what you should have done. Go and visit them, wish them well. You used to enjoy those Christmas together, but now they are no more. And the years go by, and finally one dies. And what happens? Well, you go to the funeral. But you don't want to sit with the family. You'd rather sit just in the back row of the church. All because you didn't let that bread of life really come to you when it was early enough to go to one another and get rid of all of this bitterness. Here is another one, stewardship. Sometimes people are talking about, well, what does God want of me? What am I supposed to give him? I knew that would come many a time in the stewardship days of our church year, and people were pondering this to see what the answer was going to be. I'll never forget when one day a man told me to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. And there, he said, is God's plan for stewardship. And I quickly got to that as soon as I got home. And that has been my solution to the problems of finance in a congregation for a long time. Here in the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, and this is the bread of life inspired by God, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God loves a cheerful giver. In our congregation, we pondered those words for a long time and came up with the basis of our stewardship program, which served us for many years and caused us to have more than enough to do the work that we had to do in the ministry. And it was this, that you give out of love to Christ in relationship to your faith. Another one, sometimes you are very lonely. You feel like everybody has left you. There is nothing that is there to lift your bodies. And then you turn in the quietness of your study, your home, when all is quiet, and learn that he has said that he is the one who is always there. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now the question is, what is it that really feeds our souls? They must be fed. Who or what is feeding your soul? The material blessings are there, to be sure, and you look at the financial statements, and that perhaps can take care of it for a while. But then they disappear. I live in a home for the retired, and quite often when we see the expense, the question will come up in our sitting together there for an evening meal. How long will it last? We know that an ordinary estate can quickly disappear in 2-3 years. And then what? Well, is this pietistic? I don't believe so. Jesus has said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that is the bread of life. And the question is, who or what is really feeding that soul? I could say that my money perhaps will disappear. My friends will die. When you begin to get high into the 80s, 88, like I am, you will find that you really miss those with whom you could share so much. I have been fortunate enough to keep my wife with me for a while, and we can share things together. We have the children who come home to visit us. But sooner or later, even those as close as a wife or children can be taken. And then I stand alone? Not at all. For the bread of life has said, I am with you. I am never going to forsake you. I am never going to leave you. You come to me. So the question is, who is really feeding our soul? Do you spend some time, friend, alone with the Lord Jesus Christ? Many people that I talk to say they don't. I wish I could convince you that the right thing to do was to spend some time with the Lord. I wish I could convince you that at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, you could just open up that Bible and let him really speak. And then you speak back to him when all have gone to bed and it's quiet. I find that to be where I get my most strength. There I can know that Jesus has just spoken to me in a very special way. And that's what he meant when he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Yeah, we're concerned about this old body, and one day it shall rise again, we're told. We know not how, but we take care of that pretty well while we're here. May God give us the grace to see how important it is to care for that soul by letting him and all of these blessed promises, and I've just given you a few of them, really speak to you every day. Amen.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you can feed us physically, and we're grateful for that. But we're also thankful, especially thankful, that you can feed us spiritually. We remember those this day who are the hungry, and grant that your church may be faithful in going and ministering to them with food for the body. But we also pray that your church may be faithful in bringing the message of the bread of life. For it is from your word, we know, through the gospel that is preached and taught and read, that we can know what your will is in every given circumstance under the sun. You have not forsaken us. So we pray that we may carry that out into our world to those who do trust you, and that there they may find that peace which passes all understanding. Lord, we thank you for all the good gifts that you have given to us. We pray your blessings upon the church that you have created, those who have tasted of God's love in Jesus Christ, and those who know what it is to be fed on the bread of life. Then, Heavenly Father, grant that as we are strengthened in our faith and perfected in our holiness, we may give evidence of your love to those who are yet outside. Maybe you're on the bridge. Maybe you're just standing there looking at both sides, wondering, which way shall I turn? God in heaven, give these people the grace to receive you as their Savior and Lord. For it in his name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has helped you see the importance of feeding your soul with God's blessed promises. Christian Crusaders has been blessed with many gifts from those who have included this ministry in their estate planning. These resources have made it possible for Christian Crusaders to continue broadcasting biblical truth for more than 75 years on the radio, worldwide on shortwave radio, and on the internet. If you also feel strongly in the mission of Christian Crusaders and would like more information about including it as a part of your final wishes, please call our office today at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. CDs and printed copy of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or call our toll-free telephone number 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.